So let's do a quick review, and I'm going to put something on the screen, if it'll let me do that, to take us where we want to go here. Where are we? Where are we? Where are we? Where are we? Yes, here. We're finishing up 2 Samuel, but I also want us to go through a quick review, and rather than go back to 2 Samuel, I want to go to 1 Chronicles and show you some observations from 1 Chronicles. Because, again, what we have here is the history of the story is in 2 Samuel 24. The history of the story is in 2 Samuel 24. When you see the same story outlined in 1 Chronicles, Chronicles gives you the spiritual aspect of what's going on behind the scenes. Everybody got some history. But there's a spirit going around behind that thing that helps you understand what's really happening in the history. All right? So we're going to look at what's going on spiritually in this story, and I think it'll bless you. And we're looking for the application for today, because this chapter and what David is going through, all right, has significant relevance of what's happening in our country and perhaps in our lives today. All right, now, here's the big review from last week to get us up to speed. The Iron Bowl was yesterday. I am an Auburn fan. Don't say nothing. But some people say I'm not a good Auburn fan, because when Auburn has absolutely no chance to make it into the national championship. And Alabama does. I'm not crushed when Auburn loses. Because I'll jump ship. Because I become more concerned with the state of Alabama. Mm-hmm. So even though I want Auburn to be that representative, even though I always want Auburn to win, mm-hmm. when Auburn loses, if Alabama still has an opportunity to take it home, mm-hmm. I'll root for Alabama because I'm for Alabama, mm-hmm. the state. Mm-hmm. Last year...
If you look warm, you spit you out of his mouth.
I know. So a lot of people say I'm not a good fan. I really don't care what you think. But anyway, a lot of people say I'm not a good fan. I'm not a good Auburn fan. But would you say I'm a good Alabama fan?
Yes.
State of Alabama.
Yes.
All right. So last year, I didn't root for Alabama, and I didn't root for Auburn either. I rooted for LSU.
Oh.
It is a horse of a different color, but I was more concerned about the SEC.
Okay, I got you.
Because I'm a fan of the SEC, and the SEC has won more national championships over the last couple of decades than any other conference.
Right.
So while I'm considered to be a bad Auburn fan, you may say that I'm a good fan of the SEC. And that's the review from last week's lesson. Because here's what we saw in 1 Samuel chapter 24. Now, I know it's just a football game, and so you know I have no qualms with anybody being a diehard Auburn fan, and then you just root against everything that's not for Auburn or for Alabama. I get that. I've got good friends who are Alabama friends, and they look at me and say, "We don't want your support. You stay over there with Auburn." You know, and if Auburn gets to the championship, they will root against Auburn because they love Alabama so much. What does that have to do with our lesson? Whether I'm Democrat or Republican, that's who I root for. But I don't want to be so into that I like and prefer that I miss the state of Alabama. Or that I miss
the greater good, which is being an American in America. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And while it's okay for a football game, it is not okay for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And that's the review, because that's what we're seeing here in 1 Samuel chapter 24 and how it relates to what we're going through today. You can't be 100% for the kingdom and be 100% for what you want to do. And now I'm done with all of the politics and everything else. Don't miss it. All right? Okay. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through 1 Chronicles 21, and I'm going to have my notes up on the screen. I'll put the notes out on the website. And I want you to see some of the differences here and understand the spiritual aspect and then see what it means for us today. All right, so here we go. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Some of this is review. And some of this, what I'm pointing out, is not in 2 Samuel chapter 24. And verse 1. Oh, and the verse is up there in bold. So, you know, if you don't have your Bible, you can just go with that. All right, so this is what's not in 2 Samuel 24. Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. We talked about this before. You can read my notes there. What's the spiritual application? The decisions that the leader is making in this story, the enemy is going to use to do what?
Separate him from God.
To separate him from God, and also to impact the nation. So, what should we be doing? We need to be praying for our leaders. Because the enemy will still rise up and use them and their decisions to impact what? The nation. Is there an application for us today? Absolutely. Now, everybody here is not the president, and I don't know if there's any congressmen or senators in this classroom. So, does it only apply to those in leadership as far as our politics and government is concerned?
No.
Guess why?
Because everybody leaves something. Mm-hmm. You got grandkids that you leave.
Yes.
You got a whole family that you leave. Mm-hmm. I know you got some kids that you leave.
I leave her now.
Nope.
And Juanita,
I know.
You need to pray for the leader.
Amen.
Because you don't know if the enemy's trying to use his decision. Oh yeah, come on now. To throw you off your game. Get out of there. We all need something.
Yeah.
And we got to be careful that we don't let the enemy take what we're in charge of to use it again, or to separate us. I like that. To separate us from God based upon our decisions. You got that? You got a business over there. Praise God, man. I tell people to go to your business, not because it's great. It is. But because that's a woman of God, man of God over there, whatever, it's Christian business. I don't know what they're going to do. It's going to glorify God.
Right.
But you know more than anybody else, boy, if the enemy gets involved, oh, goodness gracious, or whatever, it will have an impact on the business, and I might have roaches and everything else running all over my yard or whatever. Not that I do. So you got to look at these scriptures as we go through them today. How you doing, girl? We got to look at these scriptures when we go through today to see how does it relate to our nation. And how does it relate to me? All right. Let's keep going. I got to get through this or David's going to be mad at me. All right. Oh, went too far. The next thing that we see. Verse 3. Joab answered, "The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?" And here's the thing. Joab points out that David wants to do, what David wants to do may cause people to trespass. So, what's the point here? You can be for whoever you want to be for. But you can't support the wrong or the ungodly part of that thing.
Yes.
That makes sense?
Yeah,
that makes sense. Right.
It's a bad witness when you support everything that comes out of that, but you don't call out that that's bad. Okay, so I lied. I'm going to go political just one more time. Okay, this is the last time I'm doing political stuff. You know, I don't like doing political stuff. It's Susan's fault because she said that that's part of life and the Bible is how you live or whatever. So we ought to be able to discuss anything in Bible study and still keep the foundation of Christ. We can agree to disagree, but we... Okay, anyway.
I didn't say all that.
But that's what you meant, all right?
Hey, sir.
Yes, sir.
But two... I think leaders should always surround themselves with people that really know God. Joab knew God. And that's why he reminded David, regardless of what you might think of somebody, but he really knew God.
So, let me say this. Joab knew...
That's why he was able to call him out.
Joab knew God, but we knew that Joab was evil. Well, excuse me. Joab had bad motives.
Right.
So let me just add this to the lesson. It ain't in the notes. Just because somebody is off doesn't mean that they're always off.
Right.
And just because somebody hits a home run one time don't mean they're going to hit a home run the next time, but they might strike out.
Right.
That's why you got to be careful with Joab. So whenever you got Joabs in your life, what's a Joab? A Joab is somebody who knows the Lord and goes to church and follows the Lord or whatever, and they serve the kingdom, but they're doing it for their own selfish motives. You got to be careful with stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that does not mean that every now and then they won't throw a good gem out there for you, all
right?
Because he still knows the Lord.
Right.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Ken. All right. So, let's keep going. Here's one thing that, and I'm doing this for our guests so they don't, so they can keep up with where we are.
Then they can come back.
We sure will.
All right. Well, Al, if you keep it, okay. Praise God. So there's a leader up in there somewhere. Okay, all right, here we go. And if the other person don't like it, just pray for them. All right. Verse 6. But Levi and Benjamin counted him not among them, for the king's words were abominable to Joab. And so here's something else that we see. And 1 Chronicles 21 that we don't see in 2 Samuel 24. Again, this is just review. Joab is obedient to the leadership. Amen?
Yes.
That's a good thing. You got to do what the king say do. You got to do what those in government and in power do. Jalen, are you still living at home for free?
Yes.
Then you must do what mama say do. Say amen, son.
Amen.
All right. Get it right. Get it right. But here's the point. While it may be legal, is abortion legal?
No.
Yes, it is.
Oh, we can?
Well, I guess so.
But here's what Joab says. The king may say he wants this done, but one is not going to touch Levi, which is, it ain't going to touch my church. And it ain't going to touch Benjamin, which it ain't going to touch my family. Everybody else out there might be involved in this, but it ain't touching my church. It ain't touching my family. How do I make sure it doesn't touch my church? We got Democrat, Republican, and Independents in here. But we got the foundation of Christ in this place.
Right.
And the Spirit of God should be flowing all over this place.
Yeah.
When we walk out that door, we might have our differences. But we don't let it mess with what we have in here.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And we don't take that crazy stuff home to our family. We
mm-hmm.
Or service. Keep going. I don't think I lost anybody yet. Amen. Let's stay on the map. If I said something to mess you up, stay on the map. All right. Okay. All right. Verse 7. This was not in 2 Samuel 24. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. What was God displeased with?
The census.
The census. What David did. Is there anything wrong with the census morally?
No.
No. Does it seem like a small thing?
Yes.
Yes. But God was displeased. What do we get out of that? Okay. Did David do it because of because the Lord told him to do it?
No.
Did he do it out of the spirit realm?
No.
Did he, but he so he must have did it out of his flesh or out of his emotions.
Yes. Right.
He did it out of his pride or he did it out of fear. Mm-hmm. Application for today. If you do anything based upon pride, selfishness, fear, or flesh, you could be doing a decision that seems okay with everybody else, but it might displease God. Because you cannot, oh, I'm going to go New Testament on you, because you cannot please God in your, you can only please God in your, because God is a spirit, and the spirit is the only place that's going to lead you in truth. Application for today. Don't raise your hand and embarrass yourself. Have you ever done things and made decisions in your emotions?
Yeah.
Did that always work out for you?
Yeah. No. Nope.
That's what this lesson is teaching. It may seem innocent, it may seem okay, and the world might say, I would have done the same thing too. It might displease God. And there's a price to pay when you operate. Okay, I'm just going
to. I think, too, we need to remember that David, I mean, he's shown this throughout his life, as it's recorded in the Bible. I mean, I assume that Satan came and tempted him and put thoughts like he might have been lying in bed, and he's thinking, I wonder how many actual people are in the kingdom. I wonder how many people are in Judah in case I ever have to take
pride,
take action
fear.
Over that. I wonder how many people are really leading, and then he kept thinking on it and think instead of stating out loud. Now God told the king not to take this.
That's an old testament. Yeah.
Just like with Eve, she kept listening. She kept thinking on it. She kept looking at it, and David kept thinking on it. And then he got up the next morning and called Joab and said, "We're taking the census."
Where did that battle happen?
In his mind. In his mind. Mm-hmm. That's why I said it out loud, because we face that all the time, because Satan, it's not if he comes and rises up.
It's when.
We call it, it's when.
Up here in the dome.
Yes.
So as a leader of whatever you lead, what do you need to be watchful for?
And what you're thinking.
Because it might be influenced by the other guy rather than the spirit. Oh, I'm just all over this or whatever. I got it. Okay. Amen. You a good old class. All right, here we go.
We old.
Young and hot.
Okay, well, young. Okay. I should have said you're a good class. I should just left it at that.
Use the word geriatric.
Stay on the map. Stay on the map. Okay. Thank God for forgiveness. Amen. All right, let's slide down to verse 16. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and heaven, and having drawn a sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. Look at 5, 6, and 7 on the notes, and you'll see what the revelation there is. All right, now we talked about this last week. And our guests are not going to know this, so we've got to share it with them. In Leviticus chapter 23, there's something called what? The feast. The feast in the Hebrew means the appointment. So there are seven feasts. What do they represent? Seven steps that allow the plan of God, end time prophecy, how part of it's been fulfilled, how it's going to be fulfilled. But when we apply those seven steps, they show us how to get closer to
God.
What's the first thing that David does here?
Humbles himself.
He humbles himself. What's that called? Picking up your cross. That's feast number one, Passover. What's the second thing he does? He repents, which means he changes his mind about that census thing. Amen. That's burying the old person. Alright? Step three, what's the next thing he does?
Comes in agreement with God.
He comes in agreement with God. Where's his hope at now? His hope's in God. He said, oh my God, I'm in trouble now. Anybody ever been in trouble? Oh, yeah. I'm in trouble now because of my decisions. Let me fall into the hands of God rather than the hands of man, because God's mercy is deep. Amen. Where's his hope? In the Lord. Amen. Anybody see some trouble around the world?
Yes.
Where should our hope be?
In God.
How do we get our hope in God? By recognizing we need him. Two, changing our mind about what's going on. And three, putting our hope in God. And then what's the next thing? Step four.
Be led by the Spirit of God,
which means you need to see God for real. Does he see the angel?
Yeah.
Is it for real?
Yeah.
Thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost. All right, because that's what the Holy Ghost will do. It will reveal things to you that you did not see before. What's the next thing he does? And it's not here in 24, but now he starts praying. Before he prayed for himself, but who's he praying for now?
The people.
What's that? Step five?
Mercy.
Which points to the rapture. Is the rapture a sign of God's mercy?
Yes.
Blessed are the fifth beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall. I'm still trying to get mercy. Amen. All right. So there you go. If you got any questions about what I've got there. Oh. I saw something there that's not in 2 Samuel. I talk about it there. The angel of the Lord is standing between what? Heaven and earth. Life and death, I say, is between heaven and earth. What does that mean? What does that mean for us?
So we got to be careful what we say, too, because life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Gotcha. What is David waiting for here? The angel is waiting for something. The angel is, if David does, some of you know the story. If David does not obey the revelation that he receives from the Lord, which way will the angel probably move?
Towards the people.
Which is going to be toward the earth. The angel right now is between heaven and earth because God said, hold on just a minute. Let's see how this plays out. Who's God waiting on?
David.
To see what he'll do. So David has to make a decision. And the decision is going to make a difference between heaven and earth. Application for today. Again, this is just Chuck looking at this. Sometimes the decisions we make will have an impact on whether we're focused on the earth or whether we're focused on heaven. Did you get that?
I believe he's waiting right now for the church to make a decision. We can look up and we can see every other people
are
saying, and we can say, is that where our help comes from? But God says, no, our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Amen. If your decision is based upon the things of the earth, I want my decisions based upon heaven.
David had to get back on God's side. And God is saying, will you right now in 2020, going into 2021, church, will you be found on my side?
Choose you this day. Are you the Lord's side?
If your decisions is based upon what's happening in the earth and not for the glory of God in heaven,
that's right,
then you may be off too. And I'm trying to keep some bad stuff from happening on the earth. Okay, let me just go. By focusing on heaven.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, two, you know, the decisions we make and what we do, you know, it has to be in the spirit, because those people that are around us that are not saved, if we operate in the flesh, we can drive them away from God. So we need to be in the spirit ourselves,
right.
So other people can see Christ in us and through us by how we live and what we say and what we do. You know, because you never know how God's going to use you to maybe lead someone else to Christ. But if you always caught up in the flesh and you're doing worldly things and making worldly decisions, you know, they can't see no difference in themselves, you know, if you're operating in the flesh rather than in the spirit.
Now,
you always told them, go by the steps first before you move to someone else.
You can't love people like God wants you to love until you got yourself straight with God.
Right. You
just can't.
Can't do it.
Here's the other thing. Do we need to ignore the things of the world?
No.
Thank you for that link to the website or whatever. Well, I've been looking at some of these fancy houses. I'm like, there's about two or three of them houses I'd like to get myself up into. I'll tell you that right now. Anything wrong with that?
No.
It just needs to be led by the
Spirit.
Lord, do you want me to have this one? It's 5 bedrooms, 3.5 baths.
You're just two, y'all.
Okay, so I'm looking at these houses, right? We're running out of time. I'm looking at some of these houses, right? He sent me the link because he's a realtor. Or whatever. I'm looking at some of these houses. I'm like, man, if I call Norm up and tell him I want this house right here, it'll make Norm happy. And I like Norm. I really like Norm. I want to make Norm happy. I'm going to buy this house for Norm. I'm going to talk my wife into it or whatever. And then it's in a nice side of town. And it's in a good neighborhood. And people see me driving out of this bad boy. Man, I'm telling you, this is going to be all right. I can see myself or whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah. And am I okay?
No, you pride.
That's flesh.
Flesh, pride.
It started out okay. I guess I won't have to look at it right now. I guess I might be able to dream a little, because you're right. It's just the two of us. And I want the sweet talk.
Maybe you got all
those
grandchildren.
They're just temporary.
Oh, praise the Lord for that. You just convinced me. I'm going to have to look for a smaller house.
You're going to go away.
I don't want to give the rascals no idea. All right, let me keep going here. All right, let me keep going. All right. Verse 20. And Ornan turned back, saw the angel and his four sons with him, and hid themselves. Now, Ornan was threshing wheat. We already talked about the threshing floor, what that means. It's that separation. That's end time prophecy.
Yeah.
All right, so I didn't talk about this. Ornan is a what? A Gentile.
Okay.
It's a Gentile.
Gentile.
Yep. Guess what he saw?
He saw the angel.
The angel was revealed to him, but he was a Gentile. He saw it before the people of God saw it, except for the king.
Mm-hmm.
Application for today.
Just a forerunner for us. Apparently the Gentiles are seeing God now, seeing Jesus, and the Jews are not, still today.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them.
We're Gentiles.
We are Gentiles.
Yeah.
We're waiting on the same Messiah.
Right.
Except we see it a little bit differently than they. Mm-hmm. Have they been in it long?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we see this from a larger perspective, where we as Gentiles have a significant role in the kingdom. Praise God. Application for today. Just because you got here first. Pardon me?
You just said it.
Yep. But that's a larger application for today. Let's say to Jalen, who ain't been on the earth that long, comes up and has a revelation.
What does Jalen know about the world? As opposed to us.
No.
Ain't nobody asking you. Don't we know more about this than Jalen? We know more than Jalen. Yes, we do. Have we been in this religion longer than Jalen?
But doesn't
matter.
Are we more experienced in this than Jalen?
Yeah.
Amen. And Jalen don't have a word for us?
Jalen
ain't got no word for us.
God give him the word. You don't know that.
He told Jeremiah.
You know that too.
But wait a minute.
Even though you're young.
We've been in this thing longer.
Okay. And so are the Jews.
Are you trying to tell me if Jalen follows these steps?
Yeah, that's right.
He could be a blessing to us?
Yes, sir.
Remember that.
Hey, sir, if you go to church, you'll be in church for 30 years and not be saved, okay?
My dad was a trustee. My dad was in church for years. And in this church, we learned how to do evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
And I called my dad up one day and I asked him, I said, hey, do you know if you're going to go to heaven if you die? I didn't even try. That spirit just led me to ask him. He goes, son, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've been in church all these years. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. So the young man who had not been in church that long, me. Because I'm following them steps. You got it? All right. Praise God. We Gentiles, we in there. He must have been in the right standing in order for God to reveal it to him. All right, let's keep going. Yeah. Okay, verse 26. Oh, I got to finish this up or David would be mad at me. At that time, when David saw the Lord, he answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite, and he sacrificed there. Where did David sacrifice at? The threshing floor. What does that represent? That place of separation. That's level 6. That's the second coming of Christ type thing or whatever. It's a very special place. We're going to look at this next week when we go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22, because historically, according to tradition, this is where the temple is going to be built on this site. This is where Abraham supposedly took Isaac and he saw the Lord. This is supposedly Mount Moriah, which is on the mountaintop where Jerusalem sits, which in this same vicinity is where Christ is crucified. That's what the tradition has. So this place is it's a very special place. All right, verse 29. For the tabernacle, yes.
Chuck, question before you go to 29. So then, if that was the temple, where is the temple now?
I ain't getting there yet.
What you mean you ain't getting there yet?
I'll get there in just a minute. I'm working them up to that. You know where I'm going. I'm working them up to that. For the tabernacle of the Lord, in fact, that's really more next week, but that's okay. Since you don't want to miss next week, because what Ken just asked, what just said is, yeah, okay, yeah, we're going to hit it. Okay, here we go. All right. For the tabernacle of the Lord, verse 29, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. If y'all don't see revelation and application out of this, I don't know what to say. This is right now. This is today. Let me tell you what, let me kind of break that down. You can look at my notes on the screen, or you can look at the scripture and kind of get the revelation there. But here's where we are. Where was the tabernacle? Where was the tent where the ark and the priest and everybody else, where was that at this particular time?
Somewhere else.
It was someplace else. If David wanted to see the Lord, if David wanted to worship, if David wanted to have an encounter with God, if David wanted to get his praise on, where did he need to go? Gibeon. Because the tent of the congregation, the meeting tent, the place where God showed up, the dwelling place of God in that tabernacle or that tent, all right, was in Gibeon. Now, David could not... David could not get there, all right? It wasn't expedient for David to get there, because what do we got going on here? We got a death angel between heaven and earth waiting to decide, do I smack you or do I bless you?
Thank you, Jesus.
And David is looking at this and going, now don't get it wrong. David ain't afraid of the plague necessarily. He has to move quickly because he goes, this is what I believe. This is what some commentators say. David's like, I ain't got time. Woo! I ain't got time to travel all the way up to Gibeon because I got a right now situation I'm dealing with right now. I ain't got time to travel all the way up to where the tabernacle is. I'm going to bless somebody with this one. I need to seek the Lord and sacrifice right here where I am.
Hallelujah. You ready to get my praise on now? All right, go ahead.
David could not go there to inquire of the Lord because he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. What was the sword of the angel of the Lord?
Yeah.
It was death. Well, what form was the death coming? I see two or three people writing down. What was the death coming in the form of? The plague.
Mm-hmm.
Good gracious. Dare I say, is there any application of this story for right now? Oh, good gracious. We're in the midst of what?
Hallelujah.
A plague.
Hallelujah.
And we can't, oh my goodness, we can't worship the way that we used to worship.
That's right. That's right.
Because of
the
plague. And if David, let me just go back to David. If David made a mistake, his pride caused the plague. But all things work together for good. Romans 8:28. If it wasn't for the mistake, then the plague would never have come.
Right.
But because of the plague, because of what was happening, David was able to move to where God ultimately wanted him to move, because the tabernacle was supposed to be built on this place and not Gibeon. If it wasn't for the plague, David never would have moved. And now, because of the plague and David's obedience to the revelation that God is showing him, worship can be moved to where God ultimately wanted it to move in the first place. Application for today. I know we want to be together. I know we want to worship like we used to worship before. It don't mean that you still can't go to Gibeon.
That's right.
But God says, you need to find your threshing floor. It's better for you to find where God has moved in your life and worship him right there.
Amen.
Than to get all dressed up and go someplace else.
Yeah.
Where he used to move. I don't want to necessarily go where he used to move. I don't mind remembering that. I don't mind visiting there. But when I'm in tough times, I need a right now God to meet me right where I am.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's because he made an alliance with the Holy Spirit.
He made it.
He did it. Not us.
No. He did it because when he revealed the angel, David understood, I may not be able to do things like I used to do.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Go ahead.
On our seventh step list, it says faith moves God, not your condition. And then I think that I got the bigger the mess, the bigger the message.
Can you say that one more time? Because I need to capture that. Can you say it?
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
Faith moves God, not your condition.
Faith moves God, not your condition.
The bigger the mess, the bigger the message.
The bigger the mess, the bigger the message. All I can tell you is, where's your threshing floor?
It says, I got 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 14, relationship with God. It's the first four steps.
Yeah, the relationship with God. Your relationship with God is going to be more important than the place. God is trying to move him to a place that he, oh my goodness. You know what? I know 70,000 people had to die behind it. I know David is in a rough situation, but you know what? When David gets ready to obey the revelation that God is having him through this mistake, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. David winds up being in a better place than what it was before.
He had, you know what, I think too, it's very, very important. He had to see the Lord. He had to see that angel. He had to see, that's kind of a crazy, wild situation right there that he saw. The swooning angel between heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. And we got to see God now. Mm-hmm. We got to look to him.
Here's some quick points that I bring up in my notes. Let's go through A. We may all need to look through spiritual eyes to see if God is trying to show us he is about to do a new thing in a new place. B, God was not limited to just hearing David and Gibeon. He moved for David in an unlikely place as a result of the plague. A tough season may reveal more and move us into a position where God works it out for our favor. Here's one. There's an expiration date on the plague. Be encouraged. Just need more past. Let me just read some scripture. We got another minute before we go over. Let me just read some things here in 1 Chronicles that's not in 2 Samuel, just so you know. So let me just go on and get to 1 Chronicles. I should have already been there. Here's a couple of things. Look at verse 26. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. What happened in that place? What kind of offerings?
Burnt offerings.
What's burnt offerings usually represent? Sin sacrifice, blood offering, to cover your sins. And then peace offerings. What's peace offering? That's that communion peace. Ooh, both of them are offered right there at that place. God does a couple things. Noah just talked about it today. Noah's family already went through those first parts or whatever. Amen? And then they had communion. So they prayed and they dealt with the things they're dealing with. They put their hope in the Lord. And then after they put their hope in the Lord, they took that thing up. So you didn't even know you were following the steps, perhaps. But then you go through that other part because that level 7 type stuff where I'm in fellowship and I'm at peace with God. Did he have... Oh, here you go. This ain't in my notes. Did David have peace before the plague was stopped?
No.
You better check again.
Well, I think it's interesting here. He said that David built an altar to the Lord there, offered burnt offerings and peace offerings.
Yep.
And he called on the Lord, and he, God, answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of the God.
When David is in right standing with God, it's 10:31, I got to wrap this up. When David is in right standing with God, going through those first four steps, the fire comes, not on the peace offering, but on the burnt offering. What does that show? That shows that God is pleased with David's obedience to that point, so the sin and iniquity is taken away because God just accepted. Yes. And it came from where?
It came from heaven. It came from God.
Not from the earth?
No.
Came from heaven. After that happens, now you get the peace. Now, I ask you a question. Oh, this is going to bless you. Don't miss this. Did he have peace before the plague was stopped?
Yes.
You said no before.
Right now, I see what you said.
What do you see? How did you see it? Is it because of what I said?
No, because...
It's because of what?
The word.
The word? Well, read that word to me, because some folks are thinking that this man is crazy. And you should be testing everything that I tell you based upon what?
The word
and the Holy Spirit. I might have said something that somebody disagreed with. Mm-hmm. Well, he couldn't have had peace before the pestilence
because
came.
He did this.
The reason
is still going on. Okay, so David built an altar to the Lord.
Got it.
Sacrificed burnt offering.
Got it. Got it.
He called on the Lord, and the Lord answered him with fire from heaven.
Amen.
On the altar of burnt offering.
Yes.
So here, this is.
Then read verse 27.
Okay, then the Lord spoke to the angel.
When did the Lord speak to the angel?
After
the peace offering?
Mm-hmm.
And put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. Which means the plague got stopped.
After.
Application for today. Anybody dealing with some stuff right now? All you got to do is follow the steps and go before the Lord. And you can start praising him before you see the manifestation of your deliverance.
Faith moves God, not your condition.
We ought to be able to walk out of this class. I know I got to wrap this up. We're almost four minutes over. But you ought to be able to get to, you know, before you get to church, before you get to worship, before you get there, you should already be praising God for what he's getting ready to do if you follow these steps.
Amen.
Verse 28. At that time when David saw the Lord, he answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, and he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which God made in the wilderness, the altar burnt offering, were not in that sea. All right, you know, just, all right. So, anybody got any thoughts or comments? Does this bless anybody?
It shows that God comes to you, you don't have to go to him, God comes to you.
God will give you a revelation, and here you go. What can we do to stop the pandemic? What can we do to influence the pandemic?
Humble ourselves.
Pray. Seek God's face.
Put our hope in him.
The ways.
Come back in agreement with him.
And all of those out of 2 Chronicles 7:14 follows that same pattern of the feast. And if we would just humble ourselves, if we would just intercede for the nation like David does here, perhaps we'll get the same results that David has. And even though things are looking bad, we ought to be able to praise that there's a God who still is in control, and we can make decisions between heaven and earth. Regardless of who's the president or where things happen in the world or whatever Iran decides they want to do. God still rules.
That's right.
Yeah, he holds us accountable.
God still rules. And we ought to be able to move to the next level where we're more concerned about other folk after we got ourselves together with God, that we might be able to make a difference just by doing what God says to do. I feel like praising God. There's some scary things out there, amen? But I got a reason to praise because I'm trusting in him. All right, next week...